Thank you all for being here. And we got a little fireworks show a little bit. If you're online, you didn't get to experience that, but we've just had like a big thunderstorm that just came through in the middle of worship. So I thought it was appropriate. Psalm 135 speaks to the power of our Creator and just being reminded of that. So how are y'all doing? Okay, yeah, like I say every week, even if you're not, we're glad that you're here. This is a place for you to be. So hopefully you feel the rainforest weather of South Central Pennsylvania over the last couple weeks. And it is summer after all. So, and by the way, I'm Chris, I'm the pastor here. If it is your first time with us, special welcome to you. Thanks for lots of old familiar faces as well. So I do have to say that I am a person, and maybe you can relate with this, or maybe you can't, and that's totally okay. I am someone who is thankful that I grew up in church, that I was very thankful that my parents made faith a part of our lives, an important part of our lives growing up. I grew up in the Catholic tradition, and it was very important to my family to go to worship together once a week and to pray together, and I'm very thankful for that kind of background. It is interesting, I kind of remember this, some little bit of early memories, but when my brother and I, he's 2 years older, when we were really young, my parents actually alternated going to church. There were multiple services at the church. They alternated so one could stay home with us because we were kind of annoying at that time. And it wasn't appreciated in the church to have children screaming and that kind of thing. So my parents made it a point, and that kind of like stuck with me, that that was such an important piece of our lives. And also growing up, I was taught by a whole bunch of Sunday school teachers, going to like the little church school. We actually went on Mondays instead of Sundays, so I guess it's Monday school, CCD, anybody can relate to that. But I remember having lots and lots of teachers that poured into me and my classmates, and honestly, I don't remember most of them. I do remember one couple who taught for something like 50 years, taught fifth and sixth graders for 50 years in Sunday school classes. Dory and Ray O'Donnell, they've gone to be with the Lord since then, but they invested in me. I do remember them. My family had a relationship with them. I was just so thankful for that experience. And I'm about to share with you, do you want to see Chris in her sixth grade confirmation picture? Okay, here we go. Great hair going up. There you go. That's with the bishop who did the little confirming practice. And then that's my grandmom, who is also another person I was really thankful for, who really showed me the power of faith and following Jesus. And besides that, I was thinking about this too. We had priests growing up who were really, really supportive. We had two of them, I think, over for dinner at different times, and my family got to know them. I also grew up in the time in the Catholic Church before girls could be altar servers. But I was told by one of the priests that I would make the first girl altar server. I would be one of the best ones, even though that didn't change until after I was older. But I was thinking about this, and I don't know if you, maybe you can relate, maybe you can't, and that's, like I said, okay. But the community and my family laid a foundation for my faith. They laid a foundation for my faith. And that doesn't mean that I stuck with it. I mean, there was a chapter in my life that I had to explore for myself, figure things out for myself. I turned away from church and from God. But I was thinking about that foundation, though, would eventually, years and years and years later, from my Sunday school teachers, my grandmom, the church I was a part of, all these things, my family, years down the road, would lead to a call to ministry in a different context, a different church, but worshiping Jesus all the same. And I was thinking about this week that my own experience of God and my growth in faith, the support I felt came from people, that God worked through all these different people, many whose names I don't even remember, and all that was made possible because of people who gave up their time, who led and taught and served, and the people who had given up things so that I would have a church who could teach me about Jesus. And that I would have a family that would give up things to teach me about Jesus. That they also had paid it forward, what they had received, and given it to me. So we're in this series, Worth Sharing. And we've been talking about sharing our faith. How do we do that with people? And we do have a question today that you'll see that the title of this sermon is called Pay It Forward. That's what we're going to be talking about. But I just kind of have a little bit of an opening question here in relation to this. And this may be a little like heart stabber thing, but in general, are you a creator or a consumer? Like in life, do you tend to be a creator or a consumer? And then to kind of narrow it a little bit, particularly when it comes to things about faith and church, are you a creator of faith or are you only a consumer of faith? You know, and that's an important question because for Jesus and the first followers, that Jesus was on the scene not just to teach his followers to become rich in their faith about God, but that they were called to be creators too for the sake of other people, to share what they had received. And I think this goes for you and I, and whether you grew up in church or not, that our faith is not created in a vacuum. It's not. It involves names of people, it involves families, it involves situations and experiences and invitations. Our faith is not created in a vacuum. And Jesus knew that too, that the greatest power that he would give to his disciples was the power to create faith and to share that with others. And later on, after Jesus' ministry, after the spread of the gospel, the good news of Jesus, after his resurrection, this kind of mindset was summed up by the Apostle Paul later, one of the greatest church planters there was. He summed this up in his letter to the Romans when he said this in Romans chapter 15, verse 7. He said, "Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God." Can you guys say that with me? Okay, let's say this together. It's up on the screen there. Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. So I know it's one verse, but I want you to just like reflect on that. So imagine this. Paul, the Apostle Paul, one of these church leaders at the time in the ancient world 2,000 years ago, he was writing to a brand new church in Rome, the first church ever in Rome. Church did not exist in Rome at all. And he was writing to this movement of Jesus followers, brand new, that the word of the gospel had been spreading, and then you had these little communities, little peak groups of people that would come to faith and say, we need to gather, we need to talk about this, we need to worship together. And imagine this, that at that time, nobody grew up in church or was born into it. Nobody had a story about being taught by CCD or Sunday school teachers or being invited by somebody. Church had not existed at all. People only knew about Jesus because somebody came to share about Jesus. That Paul himself, he gave up a very comfortable life as a Pharisee and as a very educated man. He gave up that life to share the news of the Messiah, of Jesus. And there were people in Rome, who are usually women, by the way, historically, who let people meet in their homes. And they gave money so that these first little ecclesia, these first gatherings, these first churches could get started. And many of these people, they gave up their status, they endangered themselves, but they did it. And they sacrificed because Jesus had changed their lives. They realized, what other way am I going to go? How else should I live except for following Jesus? And they wanted to share Jesus with other people. So Paul challenges that first church in Rome with those words, welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. See, Paul wanted them not just to have a great relationship with Jesus themselves and worship God. He wanted them to be willing to create that opportunity for others around them. He wanted them to do that for people who might be alienated by society, people who felt like they were far away from God, or people that were marginalized and sent to the sidelines. He wanted them to invite and to look to them and to follow God themselves. And I think in this one little verse here, Paul is asking this early church, this ecclesia, to do two things. To do two things. First, to remember who created faith for them. That's the first thing. In this one verse, Paul asks this church to do two things. The first is to remember who created faith for you. Who created faith for you? Why don't you just think about that for a second? See, at some point, Jesus has welcomed you. Jesus says, welcome. And maybe your eyes were open in an experience or an invitation. Maybe you were reading scripture or someone shared something or you came to a worship service or a concert. Somebody first welcomed us. Jesus welcomed us. But also Jesus worked through other people. And I'm sure at some point, someone sacrificed for that. Somebody gave up their time or their energy, or maybe it was people that you have no idea that there was a worship team or an organist or a choir or whatever that set the stage for that early faith experience. Maybe it was the people that were opening the doors or created that church space, or maybe it was an aunt or an uncle or a grandparent who gave up time to sit with you or to drive you or drag you to church. I don't know, maybe one of the two, right? It's important to remember our roots, where we came from. Because regardless, it goes for faith, but also in life, you didn't get to where you are on your own. You didn't get to where you are on your own. That we often look around and we live in a culture that really emphasizes, you know, that you pull yourself up by your bootstraps. But the truth is, none of us did this alone. None of us got to where we are alone. I mean, even you think biologically, right? We're here because of people. Because of parents, that you live in a town, whether it's here in New Cumberland or elsewhere, you live in a town that was started by people at some point. You go to a school, or you went to a school or a college, whatever, that was started by a group of people at some point. You know, maybe educationally, you had wonderful teachers who invested in you. You had great coaches who did the same. We like to think that we did it alone by ourselves, but we had people. We had people that helped us along the way. We like to think that we did it, but we actually didn't. We seldom realize that we are often a product of the people that God has put in our lives. There's a great book, highly recommend it. It's called Outliers. Have it up there on the screen by Malcolm Gladwell. I don't know if anybody has read it here or any of his other works, but the book is really interesting because it talks about this misnomer of meritocracy, meaning that often we think that people get successful, people get to where they are because they just worked hard and gutted it out and did it all. But ultimately, we're a product of a lot of other things. And this book talks about that. We're the product of even times and places that we were born and the situations and our inheritance, all those kinds of things. But specifically, the book also talks about the people that we've been connected to. I want to mention a couple of people that are pretty famous that you may know of that basically rose to fame or rose to significance because of other people. Did you know Sally Ride? So she was the first woman in space. She was the first woman. She was mentored by a man named Arthur Walker. And he was the one that encouraged her to apply for NASA. She wouldn't have done it hadn't he encouraged her. Oprah Winfrey has credit to Maya Angelou and Robert Ebert. Dolly Parton, any Dolly Parton fans, Dolly fans, right? She grew up in poverty, but she had a wonderfully talented uncle who was gifted as a musician and encouraged her along the way. Any Stephen King or J.K. Rowling fans? Well, did you know that they actually threw out their manuscripts after they completed their novels, their first novels? They threw them out because they'd been rejected so many times. But guess who saved the day? Each of their spouses. Their spouses went to the trash can and pulled out the manuscript and told them to try one more time. There's a movie that came out, I think maybe last year, called Unsung Hero. It's the story of Rebecca St. James and her family moving to the States from Australia. Her dad would sign deals and contracts with different recording artists and things, even though the family themselves were not musicians. And they led to some really, really hard times where they were really, really just desperate and had no money, no car, nothing. And there was a little Baptist church that helped the Smallbone family, that gave them a place to live, gave them food, helped them along the way, and which led eventually to Rebecca St. James getting a recording deal. So you think about that. You think about people like in those situations, but I think the same is also true for us spiritually, that somewhere, at some time, someone invited us in. Someone led the church that we went to. Somebody started the ministry or the group or the Sunday school class or the parent or grandparent or aunt or uncle who invested in us, invested time and money to help us and to help us grow. And those of us who grew up in church, whether this one or another one or whatever that background might be, we have to remember that we were cared for and taught by people who had very busy lives, who were working and caring for families, but people who spent their own money for supplies, people who gave generously. And those of us that came to Christ or came back to Christ as adults, I'm sure too in your story, somebody invited you. Somebody greeted you at the door. Somebody preached a message for you, or you attended a group. Your faith grew because of the community, and that community that decided to live beyond themselves and to pay it forward. So I do want to go back to that question then, to ask, who are the people who helped create faith for you? Who are you thankful for? And I just want to take a moment here in the service, if you wouldn't mind, just shout out their first name for me. If you wouldn't, just say their first name. I'll go first. My grandmother, Stella Camille. Anyone? Thank you, guys. And those of you guys online, too, feel free to put a name in the chat there. I'm sure there are many more names that we could shout out here. Many names maybe that you can't even remember either. But Paul encourages people to remember that they were first welcomed in, that someone gave up and sacrificed for them. But he doesn't stop there because there's a second piece to that, right? He then challenges them and says, now it's your turn to welcome others. It's your turn to welcome others. And this is the part that gets hard. And I think, honestly, it was super hard for Jesus' first disciples, too. Because imagine, Jesus had called these guys and taught them and showed them, and they'd seen miracles and all sorts of things. But then later in the ministry that he was showing them, there came a time in Jesus' ministry that he stopped teaching them and instructing them. And instead, Luke tells us this, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He sent them out, and he sent them to do the very things that he had done. He sent them to heal and to anoint and to preach and to share. He sent them to do the very things that they had learned about from him. And so I think while we love to be recipients, it comes a point, there comes a time that it's our turn to pay it forward. It's our turn to be inconvenienced even so other people can experience what we have. I remember when I came back to church, I started attending this non-denominational church in the Eastern Shore of Maryland. We were meeting in a elementary school at the time, which was kind of a very popular thing to do. We were renting space. And so we had in the auditorium this big mat that had to be rolled out to cover the floor there so we could set up chairs. We had this children's Sunday school rooms over in some of the classrooms. And I remember, this was when I was early coming back to my faith, that I was asked to help. I was asked if I could be a hall monitor, meaning for security reasons, since the school was so big and we were only using part of it, could I walk up and down the hallway during the service to make sure that there wasn't anything wonky going on, that kids were all in their classes, there was nobody kind of wandering around. And I do remember saying no. No. Like I said, I was at a place in my faith. I was thinking, well, that means that I'm not going to be able to go to service. I'm going to have to give something up. And so I regretfully said no to that very, very important job that was needed at the time. And I assume, well, they'll probably get somebody else, and I'm sure that they did. But looking back at that time, I remember thinking about that, about how I was not wanting to give somebody up, something up, in order for others to experience that welcome and that peace of knowing that their kids were safe in that environment. And to this day, I think about that, and I regret saying no. Because I look at it and I'm like, that was a very selfish thing for me to do, to say 1 week a month I couldn't walk around and, you know, the other 3 weeks I could go and enjoy the service and that kind of thing. See, there comes a point that it's our turn to do the job of welcoming others, to sacrifice just as others have sacrificed for us. Because it's easier to be consumers than it is to be creators. And if we look all the way back to the beginning in the creation story in the Bible, the first couple chapters, first couple pages of Genesis, and we heard this recently a few times in the previous sermon series. We talked about how people are created in the image of God and how wonderful that is, and to look at people in that way. But that's not what I'm getting to today. I want to focus on this, about what God instructs these people to do. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. This is the beginning of the Judeo-Christian origin story about our roots, about where we came from, and this intent, this God who is intent on creating people to inhabit the earth, and we are so loved and created in his image. But then God tells humanity to do what? To do what? To be creators. To be creators just like him. Like, that's a reflection of God. Wow, a gift from God. A lot of people look at this passage and think, oh, well, it's solely about just having babies, right? Just having kids. But there's more than that. It's deeper than that. There's a metaphorical piece here that we are called to be creators too. See, God said, I want you to multiply what I've given you. And to be a blessing for others. God's saying, I gave life to you. Now give life to others. I bless you. Now multiply that blessing beyond yourself. Not just to consume what God has created for us, but that we are called to create. We're wired to create. And maybe you're someone who's like in the arts or likes to create knitting or quilting or whatever. Like, there's a part of that arises in those activities that we're called to create. Maybe you like to build things or put things together from IKEA, even though the instructions are supposed to be very, very simple, right? Like there's things that we are called to make and create, not just to consume, but to create. And of course, we live in a world, though, that instructs us to do the opposite and makes a lot of money on doing the opposite, right? That we're told to just be consumers. I mean, we measure often status and worth of people by what we accumulate. We're surrounded by sellers that make it easy to buy or subscribe. And then we go on to another one when our needs are not met. And don't we do this with retailers and preschools and sports and neighborhoods? We see all life often through the lens of a consumer, right? Like my phone, okay, well, my phone is old or it's not working, so I need to go on to the next one, the greatest thing. But the problem is, that same mindset often carries on and translates into other things in life, into other things, in church, in faith. I mean, that's why we often call it church shopping, right? When you're new to a community, you're looking for a new church, we shop around. And then things often get hard when something isn't what we want. Or a relationship, a friendship is not going the way that we want. Instead of putting in work, we pull up stakes and we shop elsewhere. Instead of partnering and problem solving, investing, and helping create a solution, we say, well, they're not giving me what I want, so I'm gonna go. And let me be clear, you know, I get it. Like, that's how some of us are here too, right? You were church shopping, you were looking around, and you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But the problem is that Jesus may challenge that way of thinking when it comes to our lives. It's just shopping around all the time. See, we meet Jesus who challenges us to invest and give and serve rather than get. A Jesus who encourages us not just to, hey, we're identifying a problem, but we become solutions to that problem. We don't just point it out for somebody else, but we step in ourselves and be a part of that solution. See, to follow Jesus, friends, it means sometimes we do have to be inconvenienced and uncomfortable. And when we have just a consumer mindset that we're just getting something out of faith, we're getting something out of God, we're just getting all the time, it makes it harder to be challenged by Jesus. Now, we never even get to the point of being uncomfortable because we leave as soon as it's inconvenient or it hurts or it's hard. See, consumers, we know this, that consumers don't bear fruit, they eat it. Consumers expect people to serve them instead of sacrifice. Consumers expect others to sacrifice just so that they can enjoy. But friends, creators do something very different. You know what creators do? They pay it forward. They pay it forward. They pay it forward because of what they have received. They want others to receive as well. And there was a favorite movie of mine that actually came out 25 years ago, year 2000. Some of y'all were like babies, right? So we can remember that. In year 2000, there's a movie by that name, Pay It Forward, that you might recognize Haley Joel Osment, Helen Hunt, Kevin Spacey. Good movie to watch on a rainy day, so go ahead and check that out. But it's the story of this little boy who does this project in class where he wants to see what would happen if he basically blesses someone and then tells them to pay it forward. And so he would do this, and basically the effects of this multiplication effort, that you just see these people that are blessed by him that then go on to bless others and do good things. And he watches this, and there's a whole lot of other things going on in the movie, so I encourage you to watch it. But it's a really interesting fact, and it reminds us, though, of the power of that, of the power of giving, of the power of sacrificing, of the power of investing, of the power of giving something that we've been given. And the title of that movie, and even just the phrase itself of Pay It Forward, it actually comes from a woman named Lily Hardy Hammond. In 1916, so Lily grew up in the late 1800s. She was part of the abolitionist movement. She was part of women's rights. She was also the wife of a preacher. And she wrote all these several writings at the time. And she said this in 1916. She said these words, "You don't pay love back. You pay it forward." You don't pay love back. Think about that. You don't pay it back. I mean, you love the person, right? But you pay it forward because of what you have received. And that's an attitude of gratitude towards God, what we have given, because we're not intended to be people who just consume. We're people that are created to create and to know. To create means to be captured by a vision that's greater than my own comfort. To create means that it's hard, but it's rewarding when I make that mindset shift. Again, time and time again, all over in the Bible, we see these people, these women who were supporting Jesus, who paid it forward, what they had received from Jesus. We see Peter and Paul and Lydia and Priscilla and Aquila and Timothy, all these people who had received, then give, then pay it forward. And so friends, you know, I'm thankful in my own life to look back, to look and see how Jesus had been working even before I recognize it. I'm thankful for Jesus for saving me, for changing me, and for directing me, but also for the firm foundation that was laid by a multitude of people who went before me. See, if we want to grow in our faith, it's very interesting. Then we often have to share what we've received about the God who has changed us and directed us and been at work in our lives. Maybe for you, it's to be welcomed in like I was, to be taught like I was, to be invited and helped like I was. And that's part of our mission here at Table Life Church, that we to learn the way of Jesus together as we invite others to join us at his table. And so my encouragement to you today is to pay it forward, to pay it forward. And today I want to challenge you to do two things. Okay, ready for it? Okay, ready, set, go. So first, I want you to remember who first created space for you. And like I said, maybe there were some names that were shouted out earlier. Maybe there's other people. Who was somebody that gave up something for you, invested in you, maybe in a time in need, maybe in a time of direction, whatever that was. And what I want you to do, I want you to reach out to them if possible. If they're still with us, if they're still alive walking this earth, I want you to text them, call them, or write them a thank you note sometime soon. Maybe you do that today, even as you leave the service, to reach out to them. And even if you need to use the excuse of, my pastor said I need to reach out, whatever you want to say. So, but just to say something, just say, hey, you know what, so-and-so, we were thinking, talking about this in church, and I just want to thank you for what you did for me. Just see what comes of that. To say thank you to that person who first created space for you, or those people, not limited to one. If you want to go bonker, you know, if you want to reach out to 10 people, that's fantastic. But who created space for you? And then the second piece, how is God calling you to be a creator? How is God calling you to be a creator? And it's going to look different for each one of us who's here. It's going to look very different. And maybe it's starting with just life in general and in your job. Maybe you see that there's problems or you're just complaining all the time. Well, what if you would be the solution to some of those things? Or you see something in the community or in the neighborhood that's just not right or somebody needs to do. What if that somebody is you? How is God calling you to be a creator? But then also here at Table Life Church to give those opportunities. Will you be a creator by praying, by sharing, by inviting, by giving, by joining a team, by pulling weeds, by joining children's ministry, by starting a new ministry that does not exist yet, by writing cards for people? We're going to have a ministry fair next week that's going to share some of those opportunities. But all of these, to be a creator, requires us to shift our mindset, not just to be a consumer, just to receive time and time again, to be a creator. And friends, I'll be the first to tell you, it is hard to do. It's not convenient, and it may require sacrifice. But I do have to let you know this too. When you are a part of it, and when you pay it forward, it is so worth it. Let's pray.